there, everybody. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. This is episode number 335. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line, send an email on over to ken@thisshowissogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. You can follow us on Twitter. The handle is thisshowissogay. And of course, stroll on over to the Facebook. Type in This Show Is So Gay. Like us, because we sure as heck like you. Oh my, do we have an amazing guest for you this week. I am going to introduce her right this very second. Devin Green is an award-winning comedy performer. You know her from the Welcome to My Home parodies, from her portrayal as the satirical Betty Bowers, America's Best Christian, from her appearance as a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race, from her amazing live music and comedy shows all across this great country of ours. Here are just some of the many listings that we can associate with her name. She was a Best YouTube winner. She was named one of the top 10 YouTube videos of the week. Reverb Nation named her one of the top 3 musical comedy acts. She has been the guest musical performer for so many different folks, but she's opened for Salt and Peppa, which I feel like I've had dreams about that, but that wasn't true. Devin Green actually did it. She was named the most popular female personality by the WeHo Awards, funniest online video by New York Magazine, and so many more accolades. But let's stop there, because we want to talk to our Devin Green. Welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Well, hello, and I'm circumcised.
Just in time for Christmas. That's so great.
Oh, gosh, it makes it sound like I've done a lot of things.
You have done so many different things, which leads us to so many different things to chat about. Are you, Devin Green, ready?
I am at the gate, ready to go.
Perfect. Here we go.
At the gate.
Well, we start with you as we start with so many of the comedy performers who have been on the show before you. Generally, where would you say that Devin Green finds the humor?
Arctic.
Okay.
I'm from the remote boreal tundra of Canada, so I didn't have influences of film or TV.
Okay.
I had survivalist polar bears and no horizon. So when you don't have a horizon, that can certainly give you a forced perspective on snow blindness. That doesn't even make sense. You know, I'm going to I have zero influences. I honestly just live in my own little world. I try and make sure I invite people in. But even with the photographs that I do, even though some of them look handsome, I understand. But in between, I'm laughing. So even if you don't see me smiling, everything is humor-based. I obviously don't take myself that seriously. What I do seriously, I don't put garbage out there. I stand behind what I do.
I love that whole no horizon thing. That's not a metaphor. That's like an actual thing.
It is a real thing.
Wow.
Because if the sky is the same color as the snow, you don't know where you are in the picture of things, your own perspective.
Now, I read this about you, just about your Canadian...
It's not true. Oh,
well, I'm curious, because this would certainly be a first for our show. Is it true that you were the original movie listing voice for Cineplex Odeon Theatres in Canada?
Oui, very true.
What does that even mean?
I know, I'm inscrutable at best. Well, it would be, to see the madness of King George, press one.
That was you.
That would be me, in Canadia land.
Did people recognize your voice?
My voice is pretty recognizable,
yeah.
Wherever I go. It's a little bit lower, I sing lower than most cisgendered people.
Yeah.
I believe I'm actually called cisgendered, but it gets confusing because when people read that I've been on Drag Race, they go, oh, good luck. Did you win? And well, no, I'm a girl, so I was a judge. I wasn't competing. I call the drag queen bingo when one of the performers can't, and nobody even questions it. They just...
I will say, and we're going to get to some specifics about your career Uh-oh. Is very gay adjacent. You certainly are immersed in queer culture. Is that fair to say?
I don't believe in too much, but I do believe in equality for GLBTQI people. It's as simple as that.
There it is. There it is.
You can find love anywhere in this world or a hand job. I say go for it. It's just civil, honestly, civil rights. I've been doing it a super long time.
Yeah.
Never strayed off of that. But it's very rare for, I've been extremely vocal about it.
Yeah.
And I believe you know my husband. He's on the team to end AIDS. So for a couple that identifies as heterosexual to be so constantly outspoken about it, sometimes the message, quite honestly, is more palatable coming from someone like me as opposed to someone in a pink tutu on
yeah.
a unicorn.
It's yeah.
just a, you know, that's the honest fact. So the more people I can allay their fears, it just moves it forward, even if it's just a little bit at a time.
Do you want to do a shout-out to your husband? Because he is one of my favorite people out there.
He's a very kind person. His name's Joel Bryant. And we also do a comedy duo, but he's been raising so much money for the Team to End AIDS, not just doing marathons, but an actual coach. And he grew up with a gay dad. I grew up as a pro figure skater, so I saw, you know, these young men having to live a life that was so against their instincts,
yeah.
everything that they did not want to say, do, or be. And it just seemed ludicrous.
Yeah.
It still is. It's just slowly, just, you know, things are turning around slowly.
We're getting there. We're getting there. Now, when you two have performed together, is that an enjoyable experience for you? Do you ever hit any obstacles? We've had many couples on the show who have talked about performing together. It seems that there are highs and lows to that. What has your experience been?
I'll be honest. I'm a pretty convivial young lady.
Nice.
My thermostat was set at a young age. I'm happy if he scrunches up a ball of tin foil and throws it on the floor. I'm like, oh my God, this is the greatest day ever. Look at how much fun we can have with tin foil. Oh my God, I found an almond.
I love that. Oh my gosh. And listeners, I want to remind you that you too can go for marriage counseling with Devin Green. She will help you out. That's wonderful.
Well, I do write an advice column now for the Gentleman's Magazine called Goliath Atlanta. So if you have any questions, I will give my best entertainment advice.
I love it. I love it.
It's really great advice.
I have no doubt. What would you say is your brand of advice? What separates the Devin Green style of advice from, say, an Ann Landers, apart from the fact that you're alive, right? I don't think she's alive.
I like to keep it lighthearted,
yeah,
with just a shred of truth, but there is something that I do. I actually do, it's in an actual magazine that's free in Atlanta, the city.
Yeah.
But they also have a version online, and I actually read it to you. And so that may be a little different than what I actually wrote. I can't help it.
No, nor should you help it. Nor should you help it. We had Julie Brown on the show, I think.
Oh, Dynamite.
Oh, the best, a few years ago. And she talked about her experience on RuPaul's Drag Race. She mentioned that as fun as it was, there was a lot of sitting around time. Was that your experience as well?
I don't ever really feel like that. I'm never really bored. I'm always thinking or chitty-chatting or have something going on in my head. So I don't wait for something to happen. I've never been like that. I create things.
Nice. Nice.
Even if it's just by myself. You know what? I'm going to read to you one of the actual sweet answers that I had a question here. Dear Devin, I'm down emotionally this time of year.
Yeah.
How do I get out of this hole?
Yeah.
Dying in Cincinnati. Devin's response, I am not a parent, doctor, or therapist, but as your friend, I want you to know that you are not alone.
Yeah.
Take my hand and listen. Extend yourself to others by writing an actual letter, helping in a soup kitchen, petting animals, reading to seniors, or anything to take the focus off of yourself. More importantly, go see comedy in any form, online or in real life. It will always connect you with others.
There you go. There you go.
That's the real answer. Yeah.
Well, I have to read another one of yours because I do enjoy this one. I'm a big fan of brevity. And so someone wrote this to you. Dear Devin, I received dolls for gifts because I have a huge doll collection. How do I introduce my new guy to this part of me? Signed, Raggedy in Richmond. Do you know what you replied?
I think I might have written one at a time.
Period. Done. That was brilliant.
No, these are just sweet eye bites.
Yeah.
But there are some people who actually have, if you write me a real question, I will change it as I am prone to do. It's kind of like the live music show. You can give me a request and I'll play whatever the hell I want. That's how requests work.
It's so empowering.
Yeah.
So great.
It was so crazy the other night on Saturday. I'll tell you, I had a blessing. I opened up for Jackie Beat. I had so
Oh my gosh.
Such a great performer. And then I was doing my own sweet convivial electric ukulele show. And the other night, it was just all sing-alongs. That's all it was. People were coming up singing with me on the mic. It was so great. Sometimes I do a show, and other times it's 100% interactive. That's what I love about the live shows that I do. They are interactive, and they're just super fun. I never said that I was a musician or a singer or anything. I just said I perform this stuff.
Yeah. I still am on the part where I can just yell out requests, and it doesn't really matter. Devin Green's going to do whatever the hell she well wants to do. It's great. It's great. Give me some highlights, Devin. I love hearing stories of what was one of those times that you walked off stage and you just thought, holy cow, that was amazing.
It happened this year.
Nice.
I performed for the Gay Naturists, the all-gay male nudist camp.
Wow.
that wasn't the answer you were expecting, though, was it?
It was not.
It was not. I was honored to even be asked, and I learned a lot of very good lessons. I personally liberated myself years ago when I stopped judging other people, other than their fashion, other than fashion.
Other than that.
I'm going to judge you on that. It was really, I had the best time because when you're around people who are not worried about their clothing or their body image, you have so much more to talk about.
Yeah.
It really is just very freeing. I really had the best time. I've also performed for all male maximum security prisoners. That was great too. You know what? They couldn't go anywhere. Best attentive audience I've ever had.
But that's some scary heckling, I would think, if it goes that route.
Look, I'm not 19 years old when I'm small, but the energy that I bring into the room, I don't invite hecklers.
There you go.
That's not the nature of what I do. People want to be part of it. And, you know, I don't, I'm not an angry performer.
Yeah.
You know, so what I love to do is illuminate the audience, bring out the best. If they want to say something, I want to bring out the best in what they have to say. Anybody can be angry and hurl insults. If you're in front of a mic, that certainly does not make you a comic.
Right.
Comedy is different all over the world.
Yeah.
But America, it's really based in humiliation, embarrassment, you're different, you're wrong.
That's not what Devin Green does. That's not what we do here on this show. By the way, I have to imagine, Devin, that when you got the request to perform at the all-male nudist colony, you had to have yelled out something like, Joel, come here. Like, there had to have been a moment there where you paused, right?
There's certain things that I don't even question.
Yeah.
It's like, of course I'm going to do this. I say no to about 80% of everything that comes my way because I know what I do.
Yeah.
And so if you are asking me to play a young mother with a child and having to make a Sophie's Choice and me getting on a train saying, not without my child, you've got the wrong girl. I'm the most insincere person you'll ever meet. Why would I say those words? Makes no sense. I appreciate you honestly thinking I would ever say something like that. But I don't know how else to put this. In a project, I never want to be a turd in the bowl.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know how else to say it. Do I like working with Jack Plotnick and Drew Drogi doing videos? Of course I do. You know,
so
having
fun.
A willful sort of ignorance or eviscerating people, as Andrew Bradley and I do, as the conglomerative that is Betty Bauer's America's Best Christian.
By the way, I want to remind our listeners that you need to check out Devin Green on her 2016 tour, which she is calling Not Without My Child, which I think would be amazing. It would be amazing.
That would be so great. Oh, my gosh. And I would just do inappropriate things with a Raggedy Ann.
I feel I helped here. I feel that I helped.
Yes, this has been certainly a cathartic journey for all of us.
Man, I'm happy to be along for the ride. We couldn't talk to you without mentioning Betty Bauer. I have to just ask you, did you have the sense at the start of this that she would resonate and get as much attention as she has gotten? Because everybody knows Betty Bauer.
Well, how about this? I don't do stuff. I don't go into stuff to lose.
Right.
How about that?
There you go.
You know, we put things, you know, Andrew's the author. We work on it together and put it out there and we stand behind it. He's brilliant and there's certain things that resonate stronger than others. There's times when there's more people that pick up, when people get clued in, and then we obviously have a huge catalog of material now.
Right. I would imagine in a presidential election year has got to be a little bit overwhelming for content.
Yeah. What I really appreciate, though, more than anything, is people truly understanding satire. And it's very interesting when someone goes to the Facebook or Twitter and they don't realize at first that it actually is satire and their righteous indignation or such a pointed view just condemning.
Oh, yeah.
Anything that we're saying. And then when they realize, they go, oh, my gosh, but it's been great because Christians have come out, you know, Orthodox Jews have loved it. If it can be a voice or start a conversation or bridge the gap somehow or express something that hasn't been said in that particular way. Andrew and I really have a great time doing this, and we really do stand behind what we put out there.
Yeah.
And we feel very strongly about it, and I think it's very clear we stand behind the gay community very strongly.
Without question. Without question. Again, listeners, we are here with award-winning comedy performer Devin Green. You have this style and fashion part of your life. You dish out very good-natured, I feel, critiques. What trends would you like to see go away? What are we doing wrong that Devin Green would like to never see again?
Culottes.
Is that still a thing?
No. They were like half pant, half spoon. It's like a spork, you know. What are you? Are you a long pant? Are you a short? Make up your mind. Look at anything goes. We live, you know, I live in Los Angeles. I meant to say I live in Hollywood. California.
Yeah.
Here's what happened. I wore a Zorro mask for 3 days, and nobody asked why the hell I was wearing my mask. Not one person. I'm going to the Grossiterium. I'm doing shows. Nobody. Nothing. So there's really, is there a bar? No, comma. There's no bar at all to be dropped or lowered.
I want to do that so
just
badly
it.
Right now.
Do it. Do it.
I don't know how that would go over with my students or for me getting tenure, which I really want, but I want to do it.
Of course.
All right. All right.
You're allowed to. Give yourself permission. You can always, you don't even need to make up an excuse. Like, I really don't have excuses when I don't want to do something or I'm unable to go. So if you could invite me somewhere right now as an example.
Just to invite you out somewhere, do you want to come to me? I'm going to a classical music show right after this, Devin. Will you come with me?
It's simply impossible. Nobody questions it.
No, I feel pretty shut down.
Yeah, that's the end of the conversation.
I love that not only do I feel shut down, but I was about to instantaneously apologize to you for asking.
Yes. How dare you? How
dare I? Oh, amazing, amazing. Well, one of the many accolades that we can attribute to your name that I certainly cannot boast, I, Devin Green, do not have a nail color named after me. You do.
I'll be honest, OCC makeup, which stands for Obsessive Compulsive Cosmetics, vegan, cruelty-free, I'm not. I'm very cruel. They have been wonderful. And what an amazing choice to have someone like Calpurnia,
yeah,
Willem Belli, myself as spokesmodels for their product. And that was the only thing I asked. My last name is Green, so why wouldn't I have a nail lacquer named Devin Green?
Wow.
And I love it because it glows under black light.
Look at you.
So don't go play laser tag with that.
I know. That's like an episode of SVU. Look how your nail color glows under the black light. That's amazing.
Oh, yes. Do you have the opening memorized? Are you a huge fan?
I am, yes.
Okay, do you need to have some, get it out. Do you need some, well, that looks like petechial hemorrhaging. There's lividity.
It goes farther than that for me. I have to tell you, because I have said that before on the show. It's not so much Law and Order for me where I use phrases like you just used. As someone who has watched every episode of the 15-year juggernaut of ER, there are medical procedures I think I can actually do, Devin, because I have watched that show. So certainly it extends to diagnosing a body there on SVU.
If something should happen, you and I... We're neighborhood watch. We're good citizens. We're first responders.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We'll handle the situation. If someone has an issue with their windpipe, how quick are you to open up a pen?
Exactly.
And create a blowhole.
Juliana Margulies taught me how to do that on ER. Me, personally, that's how delusional. When I was in Chicago last year, I expected to see these doctors. It's to a really scary degree, but I own it. I challenge people, well, actually, I would caution them not to start coughing around me because I'm likely to trach you.
I'm going to trach you.
Oh, that's a pickup line I need to use more, Devin. There you go.
Yeah,
you
I'd go. Like to hear how well that goes. That'd be great. You know what's funny? I do a lot of corporate, and I play at colleges all the time. I should come out there and do a show because the music I play is from the 1600s to, you know, Dr. Dre and everything in between. But it's the progression of the music. What happened with the lyrics? The lyrics, the structure of songs from the 1920s is much different than lyricists are writing in the 2000s.
We would love to have you. We would love to get you here.
Why don't you invite me out there?
We got it. This invitation is now on the air, so we're going to get Devin Green to Baldwin Wallace University. I can work on that. I'm good at things like that.
I would really like to do that.
Yeah, no, we're going to get you out here. We're going to get you out here. Now, we covered highlights on the stage, and, yeah, and we do not dwell on the negative. That's not the type of show we've been doing for the past 7+ years. But I have to ask, was there one time that maybe didn't go the way you wanted it to, but you certainly learned
yes.
a ton from that?
Yes, of course. There was one time. Very rare thing. The one thing I don't do, Ken, is give negative attention.
Yeah.
And there was someone in the audience who was just beyond drunk, and I started playing a David Bowie song, All the Young Dudes, and it just triggered something in his mind from his childhood.
Oh, boy.
I could hear him yelling and getting closer, and I just keep playing, and I have faith that audience members or the staff will look after this person. I hear him getting closer and closer, and then just at the last minute, they grabbed him. And so I just kept playing the song over and over until he was kicked out. I played it about 4 times.
Wow. When Devin Green commits to a bit, she does it. Okay.
I'm not here to... deal with the audit. Nobody, I don't really have hecklers or anything like that. It's really just a super fun time.
Yeah. I love it.
This was beyond me. He apologized through a friend later on. He just lost it. It's as simple as that. So, you know what? You can't negotiate with a gray person if you are a black and white person.
Right. Right.
You know, so I just let others deal with stuff like that.
Yeah.
I feel safe. I can't really walk around like a fraidy cat or a puss in boots. I'm not a puss in boots.
I don't think anyone has ever referred to you as such.
No, I don't think so.
Ever.
Well, right, maybe on a bathroom stall. You've been doing this a long time.
I have. It's just been such an incredible opportunity for me to just showcase all of these incredible voices who are doing unique things with their voice to entertain and to lift up underrepresented voices. And so I get to talk to people like you, and it's such a treat for me. So I had moments where I'm thinking, what am I doing? But I keep doing it because I get to have conversations like this with people like you, Devin.
Well, thank you. It's honestly, it's my honor to do this. I was looking forward to it all day, quite honestly.
Yay. Well, can you give a little advice to our listeners out there for those folks who maybe want to either get started in entertainment or get up on stage that first time? What is the patented Devin Green advice to get them up there and to own their own voice?
Well, to have your voice in comedy, most people have a homogenized voice. They look at stand-up or comedy and they regurgitate something that someone else has said. But you have a very unique history. And by being specific, you will have your own unique voice in comedy. And most people who just tell stories, well, a lot of people are very entertaining, but there's some specific format. So take a class in the structure and some ways to present it. So once you learn the structure, that performance can be taught, but the choices that you make is truly, essentially, your artistry. That is your voice. But I would say show up.
Yeah.
People wish to be entitled or expect to be famous. I didn't move to the States to be famous. I came to continue doing what I truly love to do. I was meant to do this. I don't have a choice. You know what I mean? That this is how I am. And even though the artistry comes out in different ways, it's all 100% comedy based.
Yeah.
So I was lucky to know that I was meant to do this. And if you're still searching or looking for, just explore things, try things. And at some point, it's funny, some performers are like, well, I'm not ready. This person is so much better. Just take a step at a time.
Yeah.
You know, because quite honestly, your crap doesn't stink worse than anyone else's.
Right. Right.
You've got to put your time in. You really do. I truly just don't listen to that many people. If I listen to all the no's, then I would be defeated. But I'm a harshest critic, so I know what a good thing is. So the one thing I do listen to are my instincts. That I listen to. Most humans don't. I think they're the only animals that don't listen to their instincts. I don't see a dog going,
well, maybe not.
Should I eat? No. You know, there's something that gets hammered out of adult, Ken. Like, when you become an adult, there's a self-awareness that turns into, is this correct? Am I doing the right thing? Is this what you were looking for? As opposed to, hey, go play in the sandbox. Yay, I'm going to go play in the sandbox.
Yeah.
Those are two different mentalities, the adult mind and then the performer mind. And so if you can, because I think we all naturally have that sort of expression in many different forms, but to get back to that point again, or to truly enjoy what someone does. You know, sometimes when you're very involved in the industry, it's hard to go and watch a movie.
Right.
Because you will be watching it thinking, oh, I would have edited it this way. Look at her makeup.
Right.
Why did they have this scene in here? Instead of just sitting back and relaxing and enjoying someone's voice.
There it is.
They put together. you know. So the one thing I do like to do is I like to support my friends. This is where they're at. And people have been very kind and generous with me and my growth and my journey in what I do. So I try to extend that same courtesy to others.
Follow your instincts. That's the Learning Annex with Devin Green. Tell our listening audience what you are excited for. What's coming up for you that you want to tell everybody about?
Each and every day.
Yeah.
There's a little something going on.
I love it.
I can't wait. What's tomorrow holds? Well, I don't know. I can create anything. I may make a pair of pants. I may, you know, I can do anything I want.
You might make culottes.
I may make culottes. Oh, full circle, kid. No, but if you are in the Los Angeles area, just look on Devin Green, Devin like 7, D-E-V-E-N, devingreen.com. I do a ton of private shows or college shows. I just fly out, do a great show, come on back. But if you're in the L.A. area, please feel free to come out to a show and just say that you heard me on this show.
Yeah.
Go, oh, okay, I know who you are.
Well, I have to tell you, Devin Green, you are without question one of my favorite people out there. To me and to so many of our listeners and really anyone who has encountered you, you truly are the marriage of creativity and entertainment. You really are creativity and entertainment incarnate. You are one of those people who can distract me from my day and entertain me, but also you are such an incredible ally. It's such an honor to have you on the show and feature your voice that is doing so many amazing things.
Thank you. I'm your friend. I'm on your side. You are not alone. And just between you and I, Ken,
yes.
I really feel like it's sort of my job. There's part of me that always has a little bit of an agenda. And that agenda is to empower others. And so hopefully I can do that.
There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, devingreen.com. That's DevenGreen.com. Devin Green, please keep doing what you're doing.
I will, baby. Happy holidays to everybody out there.
She's got a way about her. I know that I can't live without her. She's got a way of pleasing. I don't know why it is, but there doesn't have to be a reason anyway. She's got a smile that heals me. I don't know why it is, but I have to laugh when she reveals me. She's got a way of talking. Don't know why it is, but it lifts me up when we are walking anywhere. She comes to me when I'm feeling down, inspires me. Without a sound, she touches me, and I get turned around. She's got a way of showing how I make her feel, and I find the strength to keep on going. She's got a light.
All right, folks, and we are back. My gosh, do you not just love that Devin Green? Love Devin Green, a woman using her voice in her own unique way to entertain us, but also to further equality, to bring people together. Love her. You must go check out everything that she is doing. It's all over the World Wide Web and in person. But we do still have a little time left on this week's show, so let's get to the latest LGBT news that's out there in the world. On the national election front, a conservative proposal that would legalize LGBT discrimination, disguised as protecting religious liberty, now has the support of all but two of the remaining Republican presidential candidates. Six of them, of those Republican presidential candidates, have signed the pledge. They have promised to push it to get it enacted within their first 100 days in the White House if they are elected. Those six are Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Ben Carson, Carly Fiorina, Rick Santorum, who I didn't even know was still running, but apparently he's still on the, what do they call it, like the kids' table debate, the debate that happens before the big debates. But yeah, Rick Santorum's still in there, and Mike Huckabee. They are all backing the First Amendment Defense Act. The legislation, as written, would stop the federal government from interfering with people or businesses which believe, according to supporters, that marriage is or should be recognized as the union of one man and one woman, or that sexual relations are properly reserved to such a marriage. By the way, let's, you know, forget the fact that half those people are divorced. Half those people have had marital problems, but apparently sexual relations are properly reserved to just that marriage of one man and one woman. Three conservative groups support the pledge. Those three conservative groups are the American Principles Project, the Heritage Action for America, and the Family Research Council Action. The Family Research Council still going strong out there in the land. In addition, Jeb Bush, Lindsey Graham, Rand Paul, and Donald Trump, they have all publicly expressed support for this act, for the First Amendment Defense Act. That is according to Maggie Gallagher, she's still hanging around too, the senior fellow at the American Principles Project. There is no word yet from Chris Christie or John Kasich, the governors of New Jersey and Ohio, respectively. Think Progress reported that the First Amendment Defense Act gives people and businesses license to openly discriminate against same-sex couples. The American Civil Liberties Union called it a, quote, Pandora's box of taxpayer-funded discrimination against same-sex couples and their children. So, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Ben Carson, Carly Fiorina, Rick Santorum, who's apparently still running, and Mike Huckabee, all have signed a pledge that if they are elected within their first 100 days, they would push through the First Amendment Defense Act. All of the other issues that we have in this country, all of the other problems, all the problems we have abroad, all the problems with guns and with terrorism and with the economy and with the climate, high global warming, let's address that. But they are saying within their first 100 days, they will promise to push to get enacted the First Amendment Defense Act. If you are looking for differences between the Republicans and the Democrats, hi, here's one. Very sad news. Amazon, cool Amazon news, I love this. There are a few things that are more exciting than living your dream in Hollywood, but veteran producer Shadi Petosky is proof that transgender people can succeed there too. As Variety and Entertainment Weekly reported, Petosky learned last week that Danger and Eggs, which is the animated children's show she co-created with animator Mike Owens, has been greenlit for 25 episodes by Amazon, along with two other shows aimed at kids. Tara Sorensen, who is the head of kids programming for Amazon Studios, told Variety magazine this, quote, "Our new kids pilots will combine rich worlds with unique characters that we hope will appeal to our customers." But for Petosky, this accomplishment did not come overnight. She concedes she is one of maybe three trans TV producers working in Hollywood. But she, of course, has an impressive resume as an executive producer, a writer, and a successful director of animation. Very exciting there. Danger and Eggs. Danger and Eggs. Keep your eye out for that. That's going to be coming out on Amazon, supporting great content. The country of Malta, the small nation of Malta, they may become the first country in Europe to ban ex-gay or conversion therapy. Helena Dalli, who is Malta's Minister for Social Dialogue, Consumer Affairs, and Civil Liberties, she presented the Towards the Affirmation of Sexual Orientation, Gender Identity, and Gender Expression Act for its first reading in Parliament this past week, which begins a month-long period of public comment on the bill. The legislation would bar therapists from subjecting any vulnerable person to the practice, with vulnerable person defined as someone who is under the age of 18, who has a physical or mental disability, or who is otherwise judged by a court to be particularly at risk. It would also make it illegal to force or coerce anyone to undergo such therapy, to advertise it, or to make referrals for it. Wow, that's a huge step forward for a European country, even for the small nation of Malta. The public comment website includes the bill's text and a place for comment submission, and it lays out the arguments for the measure, and this is what it reads there in part. Quote, "The international community of professionals in education, social work, health, mental health, and counseling has determined that there is no evidence There is no evidence towards the validity or effectiveness of so-called conversion therapy. On the contrary, it is dangerous to the individual's mental and physical health, in some cases leading to suicide. I have to read it one more time. I feel like I'm saying it every week, but this is such a cause for me these days. This is one of those that I'm really focused on. Quote, on the contrary, conversion therapy is dangerous to the individual's mental and physical health, in some cases leading to suicide. So yet again, listeners, lest you be confused, conversion therapy, A, does not work. It does not work. And not only does it not work, but it actually does harm. They have linked conversion therapy to suicide. That is one of those practices that we have to address here in the U.S., and it doesn't have as much traction as it should. Here in the U.S., only California, New Jersey, Oregon, Illinois, and the District of Columbia have prohibited the use of conversion therapy on minors. Sorry, and also Cincinnati, Ohio. I shouldn't be leaving out Cincinnati, Ohio. So here's the list, the full list. I can't leave out Ohio. I live in Ohio. California, New Jersey, Oregon, and Illinois. So only four states. And then the two cities are the District of Columbia and Cincinnati, Ohio. The only places in the U.S. that have prohibited the use of conversion therapy on minors. Federal legislation has been introduced that would classify it as a form of consumer fraud. President Obama and other officials in his administration have condemned such therapy as well. And there actually is more news there on the conversion therapy front. A Superior Court judge has ordered the New Jersey-based nonprofit Jonah, a gay conversion therapy organization, to shutter for good. CBS News reports this week that a ruling by Judge Peter Bariso means that Jonah, which stands for Jews Offering New Alternatives for Healing, they must stop all operations within the month. It is now forbidden, Jonah is forbidden from engaging, whether directly or through referrals, in any therapy, counseling, treatment, or activity that has the goal of changing, affecting, or influencing sexual orientation, same-sex attraction, or gender wholeness. It's worth noting that New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who, of course, is a Republican presidential candidate, in 2013 signed a bill that barred licensed therapists from exercising gay conversion therapy in the state. Jonah officials, however, are not licensed therapists. They never have been. Jonah, which was bred from fraud, as Newsweek had reported, was slapped with a lawsuit in 2012. It accused the organization of making false claims. In June, four plaintiffs who alleged that Jonah has exploited them with false guarantees were given $72,000 in damages from the organization. An attorney for the former clients of Jonah, David Dianelli, said that the conversion therapy, which sometimes included questionable practices such as strip therapy and requiring men to cut off contact with their mothers, it's not like a cult, they said it's counterfeit. Speaking to CBS, this lawyer, David Dianelli, said the practice was premised on the lie that homosexuality is a disease or a disorder. This case proved it to be a lie. Jonah officials denied the allegations during the ongoing trial, saying that they didn't make any false claims or guarantees to their clients. They also said they had the right to help those who were conflicted about their gender identity or sexual orientation. As Newsweek noted, Jonah's 10-plus years were successful within the Jewish community because it plucked at the belief that homosexuality is rooted in behavior that is alterable. And so not only according, my listeners, to medical experts, but also according to the laws of the land, according to our court system, they also believe homosexuality is not rooted in behavior that is alterable. So Jonah, that very controversial organization there in New Jersey, they must shut down their doors for good. So hopefully, more and more of these places get shut down because they are doing harm. They don't work and they're doing harm. In Minnesota, the American Civil Liberties Union of Minnesota filed a lawsuit this week against the state's Department of Human Services, challenging the agency's ban on transition-related surgeries for low-income transgender people who receive Medicaid. This is a huge step forward. In Outfront Minnesota versus Johnson Piper, the ACLU is representing Evan Thomas, a transgender man on the state's version of Medicaid who was denied coverage for gender-affirming surgeries. Thomas is joined by Outfront Minnesota, the state's flagship LGBT rights organization. The state's public insurance program for low to no income people is called Minnesota Care. Thomas, Evan Thomas, has been diagnosed with gender dysphoria, and he currently receives Minnesota care. He has fought depression all of his life. This year, his life was on the upswing as he forged ahead to be the man he always knew himself to be, beginning hormone therapy and legally changing his name. As a low-income Minnesotan, Thomas takes advantage of the life-saving health care available to him through Minnesota care. Although that program covered Thomas's medical need for hormone therapy, his public health coverage as a trans individual was limited. Vital gender-affirming surgeries were not. They were not covered in the insurance plan that nonetheless helps him with other health needs as a low-income person. He said this in the ACLU's statement, quote, "A weight was lifted when I first began my gender transition and realized I didn't have to pretend to be a woman anymore. But," he said, quote, "being denied surgical treatment is harmful to my health and well-being every day I'm forced to live in this body." Teresa Nelson, the legal director for the ACLU of Minnesota, told The Advocate that the legal challenge is about, quote, "ensuring that transgender people are able to access the medical care they need to live a healthy and happy life." She said that Minnesota's ban targets a group of people and denies them coverage, quote, "for no good medical reason," adding that such discrimination can be life-threatening. She said this finally, "Minnesota's law and similar bans can only be attributed to hostility towards transgender people. The effects of this law on transgender people is devastating, not only because it denies them medically necessary care, but because it sends the message that the state does not care about their medical needs." So, right there in the state of Minnesota, a lawsuit that could potentially change the game, which would be fantastic for our trans brothers and sisters to get the coverage that they need and that they are entitled to. So, keeping our eyes on Minnesota. In Oklahoma, this is the dumbest story, and yet I'm still telling it to you. Some conservative Oklahoma legislators are upset about the planned installation of a Festivus pole in LGBT pride colors in the state capitol. They called it a mockery of Christianity and a sign of the alleged war on Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. Meanwhile, the man behind the pole says he has received approvals to display them in Georgia, Illinois, Michigan, and Washington State, in addition to Florida, where he is based. The rainbow poles were created by Chaz Stevens, who is an activist for LGBT rights and an activist for the separation of church and state through a group called the Humanity Fund. He installed a plain Festivus pole in the Florida Capitol in 2013 when the presence of a nativity scene in the Capitol prompted many applications for alternative displays representing non-Christian religions or no religion at all. He recently received approval to put up the rainbow pole there next week. Festivus, if you don't know, is a holiday observed by the Costanza family on Seinfeld. It is the holiday for the rest of us. It's marked by feats of strength and airing of grievances. The father of one of the show's writers had created the holiday for his family years earlier. This year, Stevens was inspired to deck the pole in rainbow colors and to top it with a disco ball. Rainbow colors and topped with a disco ball as a way to collectively and jubilantly protest those who would undo marriage equality. That is not sitting well with some in Oklahoma, where Stevens this week received approval to display a rainbow pole in the state capitol building in Oklahoma City. It's set to go up this week, but a group of Republican lawmakers, despite everything else they have to do, they have issued a statement opposing it. They said this, quote, "While a lot of us may have liked the Seinfeld series, I'm telling you, can I just pause? This is a group of Republican lawmakers, and this is what they are taking the time to say. While a lot of us have liked the Seinfeld series, this effort to mock the celebration of the birth of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, does not illustrate the best judgment of those who manage our state capitol." That's from Representative Lewis Moore. He said that to the Oklahoma City TV station KOCO. He went on to say this, quote, "To Christians, the rainbow is God's promise not to destroy the earth again by flood, as found in Genesis 9:12-17. This sacrilegious symbol wrapped in the gay rights flag is not respectful of God or the many visitors, including children, who arrive by the school busload during this time of year to celebrate the peace and joy and remembrance of the sacrifice of Christ for our sins." Representative David Brumbaugh added this, quote, "Just because something meets the legal criteria doesn't mean that it is wise to approve every request. This is just another example of the continued war on Christmas. The people who approve this should have exercised better judgment." And by the way, there was still another representative who said something. I'm entertained by this. Representative John Bennett, he said that the gay pride symbol is a sign of hostility. That rainbow flag, it's a sign of hostility and intolerance towards our Christian beliefs. Oklahomans should be outraged and call on the gay symbol to be removed. This is what they're spending time on in Oklahoma. Please be happy if you are somewhere else where they're focusing on some real issues, but I think this is what happens all over the place, so there's that. The world's largest global HIV organization, the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, has long been resistant to widespread use of pre-exposure prophylaxis, the daily dosage of a pill that can reduce the risk of HIV transmission by 99%. Since the Food and Drug Administration approved Truvada, also called PrEP, for preventative use in 2012, the AIDS Healthcare Foundation has been very wary of Truvada. The group's influential executive director, Michael Weinstein, infamously called Truvada a party drug, while recommending that doctors and government officials push condoms as the preferred HIV prevention method. Weinstein has often said he doubts most users would adhere to a PrEP regimen. While the AIDS Healthcare Foundation supports PrEP for those with multiple partners and people resistant to condoms, it still has misgivings about the preventative strategy. As evidenced, they have a new ad campaign titled PrEP, the Revolution That Didn't Happen. So despite the fact that the daily dosage of PrEP can reduce the risk of HIV transmission by 99%, this is the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, the world's largest global HIV organization. They have a new ad campaign titled PrEP, the Revolution That Didn't Happen. The ads, which will appear in LGBT newspapers around the country beginning this week, blast the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's call for 1.2 million Americans to be on PrEP regimen. The CDC calls on 492,000 gay and bisexual men to be on the drug, or one out of every four gay and bi men. The ads claim the relatively small number of people currently on PrEP, they say about 21,000, means patients don't want to take Truvada and doctors are not recommending it. The group also cites the rising number of non-HIV STDs as cause for concern, which they believe are partly as a result of the CDC abandoning prevention methods like condoms and cutting budgets for testing and outreach. You should check out this full advertisement, PrEP, the Revolution That Didn't Happen. It's just a very bizarre thing to have the world's largest global HIV organization, the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, actually taking out an ad to really decry the use of a drug that is largely being found to be quite effective. Now, you shouldn't be out there advocating that PrEP is the panacea to all of our ills with HIV and AIDS. It's not that. It doesn't just do everything just by taking it. You have to combine it with other methods. You should be using it with condoms. It doesn't prevent the risk of transmitting an STI, the risk of being infected with an STI. So it's not just about taking PrEP. And I don't think the CDC is out there saying, take PrEP and do nothing else. You want to combine it with condom usage. But as we are always looking for ways to reduce the risk of transmitting, reduce the ways of contracting HIV, here we have this pill that's proven to be 99% effective. Why would we decry that? Why not refine the message and say, hey, it's about PrEP and other methods, but let's not just put out an ad campaign that slams PrEP altogether. That doesn't make sense. Not at all. Let's talk about a country I don't think I've ever talked about in the 7-plus year history of this show. Polling stations opened at promptly 7 a.m. this past week, with citizens asked to decide on the issue of marriage equality that pits supporters of equal rights against those who see homosexuality as an alternative lifestyle and a threat to traditional values. And where did these polling stations promptly open at 7 a.m.? That would be in Slovenia. Slovenia. Slovenia's parliament had approved legislation in March redefining marriage as a union of two. That's kind of a cool phrase, quote, a union of two, instead of being a union of a man and a woman, effectively granting gay couples equal rights to marry and the right to adopt children. But a Catholic church-backed movement calling itself Children Are at Stake. Groan, children are at stake. Well, this church-backed movement, Children Are at Stake, quickly gathered the 40,000 signatures necessary to put the question to the public in a referendum for the second time since 2012. The previous effort to allow same-sex marriage was not successful. And I can actually give you the end of this story because, unfortunately, voters in the country of Slovenia rejected the law that would give same-sex couples the right to marry and adopt children. That's their second vote on gay rights in the past 4 years. About 63.4% of voters rejected the law in a referendum, while 36.6% supported it. That was a preliminary result, which was issued by the State Electoral Commission after 99% of votes were counted. So there you go. Slovenia had a brief moment of hope where they would change their laws to a marriage of two, but the voters have spoken there in Slovenia, and 63.4% of voters rejected that law in the referendum. So clearly more work to be done there in Slovenia. Back to the U.S. in Arizona, the final bill is now in for what it cost Arizona taxpayers to fight against same-sex marriage. So let's take a guess here. How much did it cost taxpayers to fight against same-sex marriage? Well, that would be $500,000. U.S. District Court Judge John Sedgwick approved an agreement by the Attorney General's office to pay $300,000 in legal fees and costs to the Lambda Legal Defense and Education Fund for its role in the 2014 lawsuit challenging Arizona's constitutional provision limiting marriage to one man and one woman. The state also will reimburse the group more than $2,000 in costs. That comes on top of another $200,000 in legal fees the state already has paid to the attorney Sean Aiken, who filed his own challenge to the ban. Attorney Jenny Pizer of Lambda Legal suggested the state is getting off easy. She said this, quote, "This reflects, among other things, the quality and efficiency of our work and resulting reasonableness of the hourly rates charged." And she said that the fees also represent not only the work in getting Sedgwick to void the Arizona restriction, but a separate earlier case. That involved a successful bid on behalf of Fred McGuire, who had wed George Martinez in California after the state recognized same-sex marriages. After Martinez died in Arizona, the State Department of Health Services would not issue a death certificate recognizing McGuire as his legal spouse. Sedgwick directed the agency to process the result. So there you go. Cost $500,000 of taxpayer money to fight for equality, which I guess on one hand is sad. I mean, yay that we want equality, but really, on almost both hands, it's sad. Sad for the taxpayers that they should have to shoulder the burden for state-sponsored discrimination, and sad that there are people that are spending their time, and now the taxpayers' money, trying to indoctrinate discrimination. It's a bad thing. It's a bad thing, and it's costing us a ton of money. Finally, I'm always looking for things that you guys can do, and there are really simple things that you can do out there in order to make a difference. One of them is signing a new petition that's out there. It's to tell HUD, Housing and Urban Development, that government agency, to house trans people in shelters according to gender identity. There is a petition out there sponsored by the National Center for Transgender Equality, and you can just search for Tell HUD, H-U-D, Tell HUD to house trans people in shelters according to gender identity. And part of the petition says this, quote, this is what you would be signing: "I support HUD's proposed rule protecting transgender people's rights to access shelters consistent with their gender identity. Too many transgender people are denied access to shelters because of who they are or forced in a shelter for the wrong gender, putting many of them in danger or pushing them back onto the streets. Placing shelter seekers according to their gender identity is a simple, tested practice that can save lives and give more people a safe place to stay when they need it most. I urge HUD to strengthen this important rule by making clear that shelters should give transgender people alternative accommodations only when they ask for them. Shelters should never force anyone to use different facilities when they don't want to just because they are transgender. Thank you for HUD's commitment to ensuring safe and dignified shelter for all." So if you just Google Tell HUD to house trans people in shelters according to gender identity, then you will find this petition. It will take you a second and a half to sign it, and it really will make a difference. This is the cool internet age that we live in, folks, where you can make a difference just by signing a petition. I urge you to do it. So there you go. An action item for you. Please go do that. And that, my friends, that is all the time we have for this week's episode. Happy holidays to all of you. The new year's coming up. Start thinking about what you are going to do in the new year to raise up the voices of your LGBT brothers and sisters, whatever it is that you do best. Whether you are Devin Green, who is using her voice to entertain us to no end, whether you have a gay radio show, whether you are writing a book, I don't care what it is. Use your voice to lift up the voices of your LGBT brothers and sisters. It will make you feel great, and it will really make a difference. Get out there, folks. Go make a difference. And while you're making a difference, please remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?